Well, Redemption Church! That is nutty, man. So on this date, back in 2011, Pete Carroll was in his second year of coaching the Seahawks. The Mariners had not made it to the World Series. Some things just stay stable, right? And yes, I had some hair back in the day. Yeah. So some stuff has changed. We've come a long way, baby. It is crazy. But that was the time in the season the Redemption Church was born. And it's wild for me to kind of look around a little bit and see some of the faces and just kind of reflect back on that time. One of the weirdest things for me is this fact that like our middle schoolers were all born when we started. Like, that's super strange. Like, there's people, like, Morgan Abbott is always locked in my mind as this benchmark person that I use, and she's in college now. I'm like, that's so strange, man. And so it's amazing to think that journey's happened. When I started, all of our kids were at home, and now my kids have kids. That's crazy. I was 40, now I'm 53. That's a lot of mileage right there, right? But here's the thing that hasn't changed, man. Redemption Church, the people of Redemption Church have been rad all the way through. You guys have been, you give yourselves a hand for that too, because you've been troopers. You've gone the distance with some of this. Again, I'm just kind of curious because of the nature of the day. How many were there day one? Just kind of curious, day one people. Thank you for sticking with us, right? That's awesome. That's fantastic. I love that. It's crazy to think. Like, just if you don't really know our full history, we literally started in a seven-day cycle. So we had a meeting on a Monday, and then on Tuesday, we're like, we better write some bylaws and mission statement and da-da-da-da-da, and no sleep, and they were trying to get insurance to meet at the school and make that whole thing happen and get permission to use the school, and even that was just a providential thing of God, and we thought it might take weeks, maybe a month to get underway, and literally started on a Monday, and by that Sunday, we had our first service. And we had nothing, dude. We had nothing except a bunch of cool people, right? We didn't have instruments. We didn't have sound equipment. This is the truth, and I've shared this before, but like, it was the old sketchy tavern at the end of town before it was the cool tavern. Remember, it was the scary one where you're like, if you go in there, you may never come out, like that place. But we had one of our people that would do karaoke there all the time, and she asked, hey, could we use some of your equipment for our church's first Sunday? And so we're like, sure. And so we used the drum set of that old sketchy bar. And also, they were the first ones to put up a poster that said, come check out Redemption Church, which is awesome. The other was Eric at the tap room, because we did this thing called Theology on Tap way back in the day. I remember I went to Eric and I said, dude, hey, could we use your bar and restaurant on Monday nights to do this thing called Theology on Tap where we're going to drink beer and talk about theology? And back at that time, he's like, you know, your church opposed our liquor license. And I said, well, now we want to use it. So, and so he was the other guy that was like the first group to put up our poster, like, hey, check out Redemption Church Sunday morning, you know, 9 a.m. at Cedar Crest High School, or 10 a.m. at Cedar Crest High School. And so we were off to the races, and we had no idea over the course of time, like, how was it going to turn out? Was this going to be something that floats or sinks? Will we be around in a couple of years or whatever else? And so to be down the road 13 years later and be like, man, all of this just terrain that was traveled and the winding path of what would happen next. It's incredible to think we're here. And so we actually have a slide of that kind of first Sunday, just a handful of things that were kind of fun. First of all, the popcorn bucket wasn't because we were serving popcorn. We're not as cool as True Value. That was our offer for the first. So it was like, you know, who's got what? Well, I got a popcorn bucket. Great, we'll use that. The Redemption Church A-frames, it was Ron and Lisa Bailey that just got a stencil and just quickly spray painted like those signs, and we were planting them all the way up to Cedar Crest High School and everything else. Let's see some other things. It's all about Jesus. That was really our focus from day one. And then also you'll notice there's a backpack, and I have that same backpack with us even today. So this is truly a throwback for maybe some that can't see because it's kind of buried back there, but this is all the same stuff still, man. And so when we kind of kicked off, we wanted something iconic because we were a church without walls, right? And so we wanted to symbolize that. So we used the backpack as this sense of like, hey, we're going to be on a journey. We're going to be doing stuff. We don't know how it's going to go. It's going to be highs and lows and challenges, but just remember, have that mindset that we're going to stay agile. We're going to be flexible. We're going to go light and fast, and we're going to just go wherever Jesus wants us to go. And so we had these different symbols related to it, right? And so, of course, the Bible was in the pouch because we wanted to make sure we were governed by what Jesus tells us to do in his book. We had the rope because that reminds us that we are to be tethered together. The church is not a building. The church is still not a building. It's why we don't really call this building the church as a staff or as a leadership. It's the hub. It's a toolbox. You all are the church, and when we're tethered together, that's when church is done healthy and right. We also had this like water cannon on the side because our attitude is we're storming hell, man. So that's still the case, man. We want to do that. We want to push back darkness with light. We want to bring love where there's hate and division and friction and all those kinds of things. We want to show how Jesus is different and life with Jesus is better. Life in our community, life in our marriages, our family, our work, our finances, even in the ugly spaces of life. That's where we want Jesus to show up. So that was really important to us. We also had the shovel, which the idea there is to plant kingdom things, right? And so many of you have found that thing that you're supposed to do, that you feel called to or led to, and you do that in our community or wherever you live or wherever you work or whatever it is, but it's that reminder that we are to intentionally be planting into our world beautiful things that represent Jesus and represent his kingdom. And then, of course, like I said, the backpack is just that essence of, you know what, we're always mobile. We're always on the move. We're always going. We never want to stop, and we always want to do whatever it is Jesus wants us to do. And so that's been our heart the whole way through. Now, on that journey, again, at first we had nothing, and then eventually we had the Hub 1.0, which was up at True Value. How many were ever in the Hub 1.0? Yeah, and that even shifted around a little bit. Like at first, we were all like crushed into this closet for offices, and eventually we got like another space over there because Matt up at True Value, if there's anything he's good at, is taking that top floor and reconfiguring it into 1,000 different things over the course of 13 years. And so we had that space for a while. But then there was somebody, I'm going to go through a list of people I want to appreciate, but I just want to kind of give this name for now and then I'll come back to it. But it was actually Roger Powell. Roger Powell, man. He's going to get a double clap by the end of the day. So Roger grabs me one day at Hub 2.0, kind of, because 1.0, where actually I'm still Hub 1.0, grabs me at the Hub 1.0 and says, hey, I want to take you on a little field trip down to the old Union Bank. And so I'm like, all right, let's go check out Union Bank. And he brings me in and he goes, what if we bought this and used it for everything, offices, ministries, and Sunday morning? And I'm like, bro, I love you, but this ain't going to work. Right? It's just not going to work. And he's like, okay, follow me. And so we go up, and you may not realize, but there was a second story on that building, just kind of a half of the building. But you could get up there, and you could see then the whole expanse of the building. And I get up there, and I look, and I'm like, bro, maybe you're onto something. You know, it was like that. Like, this could be a thing, right? And so from that, there was a series of things I'll get into in a minute. But from that, we eventually bought the old Union Bank because nothing makes more sense for a church than to really take over a bank. And so we took over a bank, and that became the Hub 2.0. And then we were there for years and years and years until finally you are now in Hub 3.0, man, right? And again, that was a journey, and in that journey, there was a lot of things that we did, a lot of things we changed. You know, we had vision statements and mission statements and purpose statements that we adapted over the course of time as our ministry got a little bit more focused. But the story is always the same. It's always the same, that we want to be a place where really people can authentically connect with Jesus and connect with others who are on a journey with Jesus. We don't want pretense. We don't want to showboat. We really don't want to do those things. We just want to bring it back to this idea that Jesus comes into the world to touch broken lives, broken places, and bring healing to the spaces that he would walk into. And I love that because I go, that's what we still get to do. Like, we get to be the hands and feet and heart of Jesus in all that we do. And so that's going to be our heart for this valley. It's going to be the heart we have for this place. That's really never going to change for us. Right? We're always going to learn ways to do it a little bit more effective or efficient or whatever else. But again, the narrative stays the same. It's always going to be about Jesus. We want people to realize that life with him is in fact genuinely better. Now, to get to this place in our history, again, it was no one single person. It was a whole plethora of people. And I have a list here, and I have my pencil because I want to make sure I'm checking everyone off because I don't want to miss any of these key things. Now, I want to be clear from the get-go. This took all of us to do this. So I don't want to take away from that reality that took everybody pulling together, everybody sticking with it, everybody praying, everybody giving, all of that. That's just really, really true. And we're going to save applause here for the end, so you don't have to pray, clap every time I have somebody stand up just briefly and I want to share something. But the first group that I want to identify is nameless, right? And it's nameless because there was just certain individuals or families that in this process became major anchor points, particularly to the financial aspects of this becoming a reality. Because this is not a cheap project, not a cheap building. There was a lot in it, and there was just certain families that really came forward and said, you know what, we're going to be in this with you in a very unique way, and we want to give you the confidence as you make decisions going forward that there is going to be resources as you're doing this. And so this would not have happened without some of those individuals and families that just did a huge, huge, just heavy lifting element to a lot of this. Lots of people gave to this, which I love the fact that it was a collective, and then certain individuals were just anchor points to some of that. So thank you to them. Next, I don't think they were able to make it today, is Ron and Lisa Bailey. Did they happen to make it by chance? What now? Different Baileys. Just, you know, so many Baileys. We love the Baileys, all 50,000 of them. So, but Ron and Lisa Bailey, not here today, but I want to give a special shout out to Lisa. So especially Lisa, if you're watching, we'll save for the end, but Lisa, we love you. All right. So, and Ron too, right? But Lisa, just for me personally, okay, just to give you a sense of perspective, there was probably nobody that fought harder to look out for me and my family at times than Lisa Bailey. And she was also that person that would actually come to me and like cuss at me to get me in line with something that I was doing wrong. And she had that space in my life. She could say like, hey, Matt, bleep, 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 bleep. And then she would hug me, you know, and it was perfect. Honestly, I will forever be grateful to Lisa Bailey for all she did for myself, for my family, for our church. And even like day one, when we met in a living room to figure out what are we going to call it, where's it going to be, that was in Ron and Lisa Bailey's living room. Now, they're over in Idaho now, and we're wishing them the best, and we miss them a ton. But they were major in just how we got to today. Right? Even though they haven't been here in the Valley for years, they were a major component of everything that we did. And so I'm very grateful for Ron and Lisa Bailey, and they've just given so much to us. Next, and I did see his awesome hair, Mike Besmer. Mike, would you stand up really quick? So I know we're saving the applause. First of all, two things. His hair is epic. Like, dude, he walks in today, and I see that hair, and instantly I was insecure. I was just like, must be nice, you know, must be nice. But Mike was the head of our board as we transitioned from what had been to what is really Redemption Church, and he shouldered a lot of emotional weight alongside of our leaders and just was a wise sage to a lot of the things we were doing, a lot of decisions that we were making. And so all the way around, Mike was an incredible resource to how we got to today and the wisdom involved in that whole process. And so grateful for him. Next, Corey. Is Corey in the room? He was going to be here for the first service. There's Corey. Corey, stand up for a minute. Now, some of you may not know how critical Corey is. See, they can't help. I told them to wait, but they're like, woo, we're not clapping, we're just cheering. All right, so Corey, my man right here, he was our first custodian up at Cedar Crest High School. I won't make you stand the whole time, dude. You can say whenever you want, but I just want everyone to make sure they know who you are. So Corey was the very first custodian up at Cedar Crest. And to understand, like, the district was really cool. They're like, hey, you can meet as many Sundays as you want, everything else, but you always have to have a custodian willing to say yes or you can't get into the building. And so Corey set a tone and a trend that for 13 years, there was never a Sunday in 13 years that there wasn't somebody willing to come in. For years, it was Corey, and then eventually he pivoted to a more oversight role in the district, and yet he was always looking out for us. In fact, even when everything happened with COVID, we were digital for 19 months. We were out of the school for 19 months. It was a long, long haul, challenging haul. And when it was time to hopefully get back in, Corey was the one really pushing to get us in as fast as possible, right? He was like doing everything he could. And so, man, we would not be here if you weren't so faithful and loyal. So Corey, you're a stud, and we owe you a ton, dude. So thank you for everything you have done for Redemption Church. And so I'm gonna make sure I'm going through my list here so I don't miss anybody. Next, Steve and Michelle Rutherford. Where's Steve and Michelle Rutherford? I saw them earlier. There they are. I want you to stand up, you guys, really quick. Stand up. All right, so these two blue chip athletes for Redemption Church, man. Absolutely. When they moved there, they're over in Spokane now, but when they moved, we had them up for like a final Sunday, and I'm going to hate getting older. I get misty about everything. All right, so Hate it. All right. But literally, there was no ministry at Redemption Church that didn't have their fingerprints all over that. Like, they did everything. They could play every position and play it awesome. And so not only were they an elder and a deacon in our church, they were just, again, the hands and feet of the heart of what we do. And so tremendous loss when they moved on, but what a tremendous gain we had for all the years that they were here and all the things that they invested into us. And so all the way around, just incredible people that really kept things going, where at times it was just like, man, can we keep it going, right? Because there's rough seasons and rough years, even with the building, you know, because you're going to find this as a shock, but I'm a bit of a pessimist. I've never shared that before. And we'd go into an elder meeting, and we'd be talking about the numbers and the challenges and everything else. And Steve was like, always like, don't worry, God's got this. I'm like, you reading what I'm reading? He's like, yeah, it's fine. I've read the Bible. You should try that sometime too. So, and so Steve was always just like, it's going to happen. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna ride Steve's shirt tails for a while and see if it happens. And sure enough, it certainly did. So next, Roger and Ruth Ann Powell. Are they with us this morning? Second service. All right. So I'm gonna tether this to Doug and Carol Taff then. Where's Doug and Carol Taff? I know they're here because I was hugging on Doug earlier. There they are right there. So Roger says, hey, let's go check out the bank. And we're like, cool. And then I'm like, yeah, it could work. Except they want like $1.2 million for a building. And Roger, we don't have $1.2 million. And so and kind of time was of the essence. And so actually Roger and Doug used their own resources to secure purchasing the old Union Bank building until such a time, and they kept the resources tied up until such a time that we as a church could then buy it from them, right? So they had their own risk involved, they had their own, you know, kind of like dog in the fight, so to speak, but they so believed in the mission and the cause and the purpose of Redemption Church and everything else that they were willing to step in and do that to kind of give us the time we needed to start saving and doing some of those things to make it possible. So again, if it wasn't for them doing that, this doesn't happen. We just didn't have the resources in place to do any of that. And so that was a huge, huge thing for us as well along the line. A couple other things about technology that were kind of important in our journey. One of them was, you know, when we started day one, since we had nothing, the good news is you have nothing, right? The bad news is you have nothing. And so we had to start hobbling things together as we went. And there was a major player family involved in that. And so the Bailey crew, I saw the Bailey crew somewhere over there. There is the Bailey kids, minus Brenda. Brenda's out of the state right now. She's in Nebraska. But the Baileys from like day one, they were the roll in, roll out every Sunday. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm making people stand too long. I'm sorry about that. But they were rolling in, rolling out every Sunday, kind of building our sound system as they went, making sure that it was efficient and effective and everything else. And so, and especially up in that space up there, how many of you would say the sound quality has changed since we've relocated? Yeah, just a few of you, right? Yeah, they always had to fight every week with all of the chaos of that room to make it work, and they did a great job on that and just was tireless, just always investing, always giving, always making it happen. And then directly tied to that is also kind of the video side, our online video presence, and that was Bob Palmer. Some of you may know, he worked for the Seahawks. He kind of oversaw all the production of video stuff in the stadium, and then he also went to our church. He was like a multi-Emmy award-winning videographer and director and all this stuff, and he went to our church. So he helped us get the online presence for video that we really just didn't have, and he helped to dial it in and get better and better at that all the time. And so again, these were just ways that we saw progression in our community of faith and ways we got better at different things. Also, really quick, some fast ones here. Byron and Carla Smith, I know they're not with us. They live in Texas now. You left me, bro. You left me, all right? No pressure, but you left. All right, so miss them, love them tremendously. And so where Mike had kind of passed the baton, it was really on to Byron, who was really overseeing kind of our board going forward. And for me personally, was a guy that I could just lean on at times and work through things, and he would give me some insight and wisdom and perspective. And from that man, they really gave a lot to who we are and what we have done as a church. Closely connected to that is the McKinneys. And so I'm going to have the McKinneys stand up right over here. Yeah, so elder to our elders in a lot of ways, you know, a pastor to a pastor. And also just every time that there needed to be something filled in, boom, they stepped in and filled in. In fact, there's a great, like, it will stay forever to remind us of Keith. The logo in the foyer, that's Keith. That's pretty cool, right? So it's still a part of our heritage and all of that, and so I love that fact as well. Okay, last couple of ones here real fast, and this one is obvious. I've been doing it all the way through. And again, Scott Thompson. Scott Thompson. I know you're out there, Scott Thompson. Always behind the scenes. Yeah, you go fetch him. Go fetch that Scott Thompson. You tell that Scott Thompson to get in here now. All right, where is he? Where is he? He's outside. No. I knew he would. This is exactly what he does every time. I saw his body though. So I'm going to wait. I don't care. Y'all can play rock, paper, scissors next to each other right now while you're waiting for the legend. Right? In all sincerity, this, the whole way through, I mean, weirdly enough, so when I first came here, now actually almost 17 years ago, and we had a lot of hard times in the first year, and we had to make some staffing changes, and Scott had been part-time, and we had to let other people go, but then we made Scott full-time. The reason was, he's like the Swiss Army knife, right? He's like the R2-D2 of life. Like, he's got 50,000 gadgets and he can do anything. And he has cleaned up my messes many a time. He has kept us going when we probably couldn't go. And this building project, I keep saying, what I spent in minutes thinking and worrying about, he spent hours and days. And one of the things that is true statistically is after a building project, pastors often resign within a year of the project. They're just spent. Scott shouldered all of those burdens for me so that I didn't come into this and I was like, oh, I'm all the way down. Like, he was really the guy that shouldered all of this. And so 100% when it comes to everything that had to happen for this to occur and all of the moving parts and scheduling things and stay on task, Scott was our guy. And so in some ways, while I have no interest to put a plaque on the building in name of anybody, I would do it for Scott if we were that kind of church, because really he did those things. And so pretty huge, as well as our staff and deacons and our eldership board. They were huge in the process of this, and so Scott's amazing and everything that he did. But man, our whole team had to pull together and do a lot, and so again, I'm grateful for that. And then I have one last one, and I don't think this is terribly selfish because I think it's really, really true, and now I'll get a little. But my wife and my kids are all right there, and my grandkids. Hi, Miss Pepper. Hi, Ezrin. Like, you know, the happy-go-lucky Matt in public, they get to get the discouraged sometimes, like, is this gonna happen, Matt, in private? And, you know, throughout the years, there were certainly hard seasons, and there was times where I did not see my family a ton, or I wasn't able to engage as well. And so, you know, they bore the weight of a lot of these things. And so just incredibly grateful for everything that they contributed and everything they gave up for this season of years now to get to this place. And so for all of that, I am thankful and I am grateful. And so I want to kind of wrap up this morning with just a reading from scripture and then a prayer, which is really a time of dedication. That's kind of what today was. It was a birthday celebration. Yay, we're 13. That's when life gets really simple, when you become a teenager. But also, we just wanted to have some fun, have some celebration, but also to see this as a dedication. And it's weird, because I'm actually going to read some of Solomon's dedication of the temple from 1 Kings. Not that this is a temple, and not that it's the same thing, because again, it's not. This is just a toolbox for the kingdom. But I love the heart of what Solomon has here, and so I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing, because that's the way we want to do it. So, Solomon says, "Open your eyes, Lord, to my requests and to the requests of your people. May you hear and answer them whenever they cry out to you. Praise the Lord who has given rest to his people, just as he promised. Not one word has failed. All the wonderful promises have come to be. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us or abandon us. May he give us the desire of giving us everything that he is willing to give. And may we obey all his commands and decrees and regulations as he gave our ancestors. And may these words that we have prayed in the presence of the Lord be before him constantly, day and night, so that the Lord our God may give justice to his people according to each day's need. Then people from all over," I'm going to add the valley here, "will know that the Lord is alone our God and there is no other. And may we be completely faithful to the Lord our God. May we always obey his decrees and commands just as we are doing today." Let's go ahead and pray together. Jesus, I thank you for a long journey and reaching now a destination that sets us up for another long journey, in which the destination is really eternity. It's the end of all things. It's the great resurrection of the end as you reconcile all things to yourself. And I pray that between now and then we are faithful, that we are humble, that we are a place where people can authentically meet with Jesus, where there isn't pretense, there isn't the sense of superiority, but rather humility and grace, that the very foundations of the Christian faith would be known in our dispositions, in the way that we handle people, whether it's people that love us, people that hate us, it doesn't matter, that they would see you in all of us nonetheless, because that's what matters. I pray that this particular toolbox will simply be a functional way of connecting lives, and then from that, showing your life to these lives that need to know you. So help us to do this. Help us to be faithful with this space. Help us to not lose sight of the fact that we are always to be kind of on the leading edge of where light kind of runs into the darkness, and that we are seeking to be those types of missional ambassadors where we're bringing that peacemaking and that sense of love and joy and just all of that fruit of the Spirit into what we do. I pray that you will use these people and you will use this place to do really great things in our community, that we will link arms with our other brothers and sisters throughout the valley and do amazing things to make much of your kingdom and much of you. And so, Jesus, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. We solicit you and seek you in your good name. Amen. So, real